Well, a very warm welcome to everyone, taking in all the build-up to Knockout Chaos. The idea of this podcast, my name is Jamie Ward, this is On The Ground. As I say, the idea to transport you from wherever you are watching around the world, from your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, to right here, in amongst the chaos, here in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, as we count down to Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. We're going to gather words from just about everyone we can, take you in places we probably shouldn't be going. Will there be interviews that get turned down 100%? Does that matter? Absolutely not. Let's make our way down the stairs here and just see my trusty producer, Producer Scott here, and the very first man we have laced our eyes on is my good friend, yes. Gavin Gwynn. Gavin, great to see you, by the way,
yeah.
From Merthyr, from the Welsh Valleys to the Middle East. That's not bad going, is it?
It's mental. Like, I made my debut in Merthyr Leisure Centre. I'm here now, 7 years later. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy.
I remember being ringside at the O2 when you boxed your countrymen, and now I think you get on pretty well, you and Joe Cordina.
Yeah.
You lost for the British title that night.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking to you afterwards, and you were devastated. I remember speaking to you after fight camp when you lost to James Tennyson.
Yeah.
You were devastated. But look at you now. You won the European title. What's inspired you to never give up?
I just always had that belief in myself. And I just wanted to win that British title. And as soon as I won that British title, I just kept on going up through the levels and going up through the levels. And I'm growing in confidence with every fight now. And I think you'll see the best of me on the 8th as well, yeah.
Well, talk to us about Friday. What's at stake for you, and how's the mindset a few sleeps away?
Yeah, it's a massive fight for me. It's a world ranking belt. It puts me right up in the top 10 in with the WBA. So it's a must-win fight for myself. And get a win out here on the 8th, and I'm coming back out here a few weeks later. So yeah, that's the motivation for me. Yeah.
Well, Gavin Gwynn, I wish you the very best of luck.
Nice one, thank you.
On Friday, great to catch up with Gavin. I'm being told Paul Smith is also in attendance. I can see Paul at the bottom of the stairs. These steps, by the way, my calves are going to be in absolute pieces tomorrow. Paul Smith, sorry to interrupt this conversation. We are live. Can we bother you for a quick word?
Don't swear, yeah.
Absolutely, you love it anyway. You love this, don't you? Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We've been here a few times now, but talk to us about your role and what continuously keeps bringing here in your new role on the other side of the ropes, of course.
Yeah, so I manage Syed Almayouf. He's a Saudi fighter, he's a good fighter. He's a lovely kid, he's a nice lad. And he's part of these events. And he's on this one, the latest big one now. So he's hoping to do his country proud and his family and friends part, which he always does. And he's a really nice kid, and the British fans should like him and get behind him because he is a good kid.
And how far do you think he can go in this game?
Listen, he wants to go all the way. He wants to go to the top. He's trained by Buddy McGirt. He's lacking in amateur pedigree. He makes up for it in confidence. He's got a long road ahead of him. He's got to learn on the job, which isn't a bad thing, by the way. You know, there's a lot of fighters out there like that at the moment. But he literally didn't have any amateur career at all when he was saying his mum's Egyptian. He grew up in Egypt as well, and over there he was literally like they had a rope for the ring and not many gloves and all that, so he literally hasn't had an amateur career. So he's got to learn on the job, but he's doing so many, but there's a bit of pressure on his shoulders as well, because he's learning on the job, but he's learning in big shows and big stadium fights like this. Usyk Dubois, he's been on some really big shows, so there's a lot of pressure on him, but he's dealing with it really well.
I think, Paul, I would describe you as a proper boxing man. We're seeing it more often now. What are your genuine thoughts on the crossover stuff and this main event on Friday?
If I started the YouTube channel tomorrow and started making 50 grand a month, you'd shake my hands and say, well done.
I would.
And rightly so, and so would I. They're just exploiting another industry and they're making money.
Our next two
YouTubers.
To the
this type of fight isn't a YouTuber, this is a proper fighter. And
it is scheduled for 12
he's
rounds,
well worth the entrance money alone WBO just because of his MMA interim career. The fact that he's a heavyweight is the reason why we're here. I think he was a middleweight or a welterweight, similar to what Conor McGregor was. Being a hypocrite saying the demand may not be as big because of what happened with McGregor Mayweather. It was pretty one-sided, even though I love McGregor and he did great. But these fighters from the UFC are not making the amount of money that they can make in boxing, and they're coming over to boxing and they're making millions, and rightly so. I think the last fight, I told everyone that I listened that Fury wouldn't, Ngannou wouldn't lay a glove on Fury. And how daft we all look. I think this fight should be pretty straightforward for AJ, but he's a heavyweight and he's a big puncher, and he's obviously a big puncher in Ngannou to catch Fury and drop him the way he did. I think anyone that's probably against it just don't hate on it. Just think, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Enjoy.
It's going to be for a while. Enjoy
it
while to you.
Enjoy
the fun. We saw something similar with Muhammad Ali in the 70s, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
Famous old Rocky III with Thunder Lips. it's gonna happen. It's a fight. It's an event. This is something else. You don't see many things like this.
We've got to embrace it.
So, got to embrace it and get behind it.
Paul, always a pleasure to speak to you, my friend. Top man. I didn't want to leave you hanging there on air. And look who's here, Nick Ball as well. From one scouser to another. Nick, great to see you. I mean, when you first lay on the gloves, in what way is this always the type of night that you dream of, but probably never expected it to land in Saudi, I'm sure?
No, I didn't expect it to be here, but this is where boxing's happening now, innit? It's took over, so I made up to be a part of it and looking to put on a show, yeah.
When you look at this fight as well, Ray Vargas, everyone keeps talking about the size difference. What is the mistake, though? If the boxing fans are purely looking at the size difference, the fans watching around the world, what are they underestimating about Nick Ball?
The size difference. That's what they're underestimating, yeah. They're thinking I'm too small or whatever it may be, thinking it can't be done, but I'm used to this. I've been doing this my whole life, my whole career, so it's nothing new to me. It's just another body in the way, and he's in my way, and he's got what's mine, I'm coming to take it.
And when you think about the doors that could open, as always, when you become world champion, the chips come in your hand, don't they, so to speak? I know people have been talking about Josh Warrington in the 5v5 here in the summer. They've been talking about newly crowned world champion in your division, Ray Ford, as well. How exciting is that for you, the future?
Yeah, it is. It's massively exciting, isn't it? But I can't look past no one or look past this fight. I've got to get the job done first, and then their fights in the future we can speak about. But yeah, they're there to be made, Andy, because that's what's getting spoke about.
You get a little spot in your living room for that green and gold belt?
Yeah, in my mum's living room, yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Nick,
right.
Wish you all the very
nice
best
song.
Luck this
Thanks.
Week. Great to catch up with yourself. Great fight that. Nick Ball versus Ray Vargas, WBC World Featherweight Crown. Where am I heading here, Scott? I'm making my way up. And do you know who I can see? This is turning into a Liverpool show, this, because there is a certain set of brothers who are in the building, and I'm going to see if I can grab a really quick word with my good friend here, Peter McGrail. Pete, I just caught up with Nick Ball there. I'll ask you a question about him first. Of course, you share the gym together.
Yeah.
How exciting is it for you to be here and share this experience with him?
I love it, boss. I was thinking at them when I was walking around this, what's it called, Boulevard World. Obviously,
it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a belter. I'm walking around here with Joe and Brad. And I was thinking, like, obviously, we probably wouldn't be here if Nick weren't where he was, and obviously, fighting for the world title. So we're out here supporting him, and I know he's going to do the business Friday, yeah.
Do you see this as a bit of a coming out party for him to really show to the world? We saw it in that Isaac Dogbo fight, didn't we? You saw glimpses of that, the level we can operate at. But you believe truly this is his coming out night?
Yeah, definitely. I believe people already know what he's about, you know what I mean? As you said, that's fight with Dogbo, and he even performs just before that. He's annihilating people, you know what I mean? He's smashing them up, and he's a force in the ring. And we see it every day in the gym. We work with him, we spar with him, put the rounds in with him. And it's his time, you know what I mean? He's got the momentum behind him. And he's in there with, obviously, a double, two-weight world champion. Nick knows he's no mug, but Nick's more than ready to get the job done Friday. And WBC belt will be coming back to Evan Ed Triangle.
Well, we certainly wish Nick Ball the best. But a quick one on yourself. I was there in Arizona.
Yeah.
You were boxing brilliantly against Rico Quinn. That was not in the script, Pete? But what have you been able to tell yourself since that night?
Yeah, look, obviously it was obviously, as you said, weren't in the script, and I obviously had to just take it as it was, and it basically it is what it is, Jamie. I got back in the gym straight away. Even Eddie and Frank come in the gym in the changes after the fight. And straight away it was just like, yeah, we wanted that rematch straight away, and then that was in the works from then, and obviously we got it, and it was meant to be in Liverpool, which I was made up about, because obviously he's coming to, obviously I went to America, I didn't go to his hometown, but I went to America, now he was coming over to Liverpool, but it's been changed now to
Taylor Catchrell,
and like, some people might have been gutted about that, they would like to headline a bill of Liverpool, which I know, well, I already have done, but I know one day it's going to happen in the Echo, but I am more happy about that, because there's going to be thousands of people in the stadium, the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable, and I'm coming to steal the show that night, and I'm going to be putting in the performance of my career, and taking my belt back.
Back on track by any means?
Yeah, 100%, Jamie, I'm going to be in the same position I would have been if I won there, if not better, because of the scale of the show that I'm fighting on, it's obviously it's going to be thousands of people watching on the zone in there, and just because of the way obviously the fight went last time, the way I lost, it's going to be more interest on that fight, so it's yeah, I'm just obviously in the gym now, fully focused. Never been so motivated because of how the last fight ended, but it's gonna probably be the best night yet in my pro boxing career on the 27th of April.
We look forward to it. Pete, thank you so much for speaking to us. You're a top man. Yes, Draco Aquin versus McGrail 2, and from one McGrail to another. Joe McGrail, good to see you. Do you know what? Everyone I've spoke to so far, I think, has been from Liverpool. Great to see you, mate. Firstly, I want to compliment you on what was a brilliant performance in Arizona. How special a moment was that for you to go over there and put on the performance that you did?
Definitely, you know, Jamie, what an experience for me going out there. I've never been to America before then. Boxing in front of, obviously, Eddie and Frank, putting a belt of performance in, the family flying over. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And when you look at your brother, obviously it wasn't the dream night, it wasn't the perfect night, it was a very difficult night, I know, for you as a family. And you're not just brothers, are you, you and Pete? You're very close friends as well. How difficult a night was that, but how strong is the belief that you can right the wrong?
Definitely, yeah. It wasn't nice seeing, like, he was boxing probably the best I'd seen him as a professional. So for it to end that way, it wasn't hard one for us all to take, but I'm just looking forward to April now, where he can put that wrong right and shut that divvy up, yeah.
And have you spoke to Eddie and Frank about being on the undercard?
My manager's been speaking to them, yeah. So that's getting in the process of getting worked on at the moment.
So, man, and just finally, in a short sentence, does Nick Ball become world champion this week?
Definitely, yeah, 100%, Nick Ball and the new.
Absolutely. Joe McGrail, great to speak to you as well. Look forward to seeing you back in the ring very soon. Really promising young fighter, Joe McGrail. What a fighting family that is. Joe McGrail looked so good, didn't he, in Arizona on his slot on before the bell. As we head back up these steps, and I've just bumped into Coogan Cassius, who I think looks like he's waiting in the wings to do an interview, so I'll keep this quite brief. It looks like he's waiting to grab Eddie Hearn. This leads nicely into my first question, Coog. Just make sure you're speaking to the right. Oh, look at the plug, look, trying to get IFL. No, we'll let you off, fair enough. For a long while, right, when you look at the content that the boxing YouTube scene were putting out, you play a massive part in generating interest, generating hype. But a lot of it was about Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren, the back and forth, the beef, the disagreements. How has that changed since they are now long-lost brothers and friends?
Long-lost brothers and friends, yeah, it's a bit weird, but I think we're getting used to it more so. Got Eddie Hearn standing there, got Frank Warren a few feet away. Yeah, I mean, we probably contributed to a lot of the back and forth over a 12-year period. We'd do Eddie in the office 1 minute, then go and do Frank the next. So we've lost that little bit of fight, but I suppose we're going to use that in a positive way to see fights that normally wouldn't have happened if they were still kind of bickering or whatever you want to call
it's
it.
It's got to be good for boxing, surely.
It is good for boxing, but I think, yeah, the build-up play, the kind of rivalry between them, there still is rivalry, but I think we will miss that, but if it means we get the fights, then we'll take it.
Have you managed to get them together yet?
No.
An interview? Is that
no.
The aim for the week?
Yeah, I think it's got to happen through chance. I think it's got to be a case
right.
of possibly me talking to Eddie and then seeing Frank kind of just strolling past, and it's like, Frank, jump in, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And a quick one. You've known Anthony Joshua for many years. You've been around Francis Ngannou for a couple of fight weeks now.
Yeah.
What excites you and what do you find intriguing about this one?
I'm just intrigued because no one really knows exactly how it's going to play out.
No idea.
No one knows what that opening round's going to be like. No one knows how long it's really going to go for. If you ask any of these experts now, anyone's got their opinion on how it's going to go. But I don't think anyone's quite 100% sure, like even the method of win, let alone who's going to win, you know. But I think, you know, most people you're speaking to, they're backing AJ. But after what Francis Ngannou did against Tyson Fury, then you can't really completely write in my favour. So we'll see.
Well, I'll be looking out for that IFL thumbnail of the two of them in one interview. No clickbait this week, all right?
Clickbait.
That's a message for the fans. Coogan, always an absolute pleasure. Coogan Cassius, the main man, IFL TV. Always good to catch up with Coogan. I can see someone here who I'd love to get a word with. He's walking away from the camera. It's Gareth A. Davis, the maverick of British journalism, of sports journalism.
Easy.
GAD.
Easy on the intro. Easy
I think
on
maverick
the intro.
was a good word to describe
Maverick what?
Maverick Davis, we'll call you. Maverick GAD. How's that sound?
What show is this?
Do you know what? This is for the Matchroom podcast. This is on the ground.
I know what show it is.
Do you know
is
what? I watched you yesterday.
Yes.
And it always brings a smile to my face. I saw you walk in. And every camera you looked in, what did you say? Do you remember?
Knockout Chaos.
Yeah.
Knockout Chaos.
Gareth, yeah, you're a brilliant journalist, of course, but do you enjoy a word that you've used before in some of your articles about Fight Camp back in the day? The camaraderie.
What,
the
when we beat you at cricket over and over again?
That was good, wasn't it?
It
well,
was
you
good.
Went out first ball, actually. We won't bring that up. He brought his own bat.
Oh,
he brought his own bat to the Fight Camp cricket, went out first ball. We still
I'm
talk about it.
That's, I'm a bowler.
That's folklore in the Matchroom office. But do you enjoy the showbiz? You enjoy everything that comes with these events?
Listen, there's being involved in the milieu, as I would call it, is extraordinary. The big fight weeks, even the small fight weeks. I was in one in Abu Dhabi last week. It's great fun. It was an outdoor event. When you get these moments, they're all... We're in a big paradigm shift in the sport. When you get a big event, and it's in a new territory, and they're being paid more, they're being paid right, the fights are going to be made, how can you not love it? I've done this for 33 years. My passion is still there for it. I don't even need to say that. It is. We've got extraordinary fighters, amazing stories to tell, and all the platforms to do it. And as you know, you work with Eddie Hearn, you work for him. It's amazing to see Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn working together.
It's strange.
It's kind
isn't
of
it?
A bit surreal.
Very surreal.
It's almost like you've fallen asleep on some kind of ayahuasca drug and woken up in an alternative universe where Frank and Eddie are sharing a joke and a laugh all the
it's
time.
It's amazing. To be
as
fair.
Opposed to hammering each other on YouTube
I know.
All the time.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, it's
John
interesting.
John Fury's here.
John Fury's
shaking
here.
Shaking hands and hugging it out with Johnny Nelson.
Do you think it's a little bit, I've always said, the boxing community in the UK, it almost feels like you could fit everyone in a village hall because it's a small community. Everyone knows
that'd
everyone.
That would be an explosive village
hall. Wouldn't it just? But isn't
no,
it's brilliant seeing
community.
Everyone. Small community.
And what I'll say is, when the community all pulls together like this, look, timing, money, ego, all those things matter in boxing. And at the very top is a business and a sport. When the money's right, the timing's right and the egos disappear. And that's what's happened at the moment. And we will have rivals again. There's going to be rivalry on June the 1st. Can't wait for that. Warren
special,
versus Hearn.
Special.
It's going to be special. But I think, you know, I'll say it to you as a young presenter now, you know. I know you love your fight sports. You always have done. I've known you for 5 years, 4 or 5 years
yep,
you've been
correct.
Involved. When you get a special time, savour it.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what you're talking about when I come in. You know, to be asked to be involved in Battle of the Baddest documentaries, to be asked your advice on boxing things, about the media, to be asked to be involved, to be in it, to be respected or trusted to be in the dressing room earlier when they're getting ready to come out. To be given access, it's so important. And how can I not love it?
Gareth, I'm sure we're going to catch up with you a bit later on this week. Trying to get the mics out of the way. Knockout Chaos, you heard it there from Gareth A. Davis. And I did just see Steve Bunce. And do you know what? I can see Steve Bunce. Now, Steve Bunce is one of the most famous interviewers. But sometimes, unless it's a big, large-scale documentary, he's sometimes a little bit hard to pin down for an interview. But luckily enough... I don't even know if you said yes yet. Have you said yes?
I've said yes. I'm in.
I knew he had.
I'm in, as they say in the trade.
Steve, we always talk about this experience as people who are lucky enough to work in a sport we love. That story we spoke about recently on Five Live, thanks for having me on, by the way.
That's a great pleasure.
You touched down in Vegas, you have a little laugh and a smile. Yeah. How am I here for work?
Yeah.
The last few big fights have been here in Saudi Arabia. What sort of feelings do you get coming here now in comparison?
Much the same feeling as I used to get when I went to Vegas 6 times in a couple of years, like we've been here 6 times for the type of grand, ridiculous, mad, crazy, unbelievable and unforgettable fights that we've been getting here. And not just the fights. I've got to be honest with you, and I might whisper it, let's keep our voice down.
Okay, go on.
They do the week here in Saudi much better than they do the week in Vegas. Okay, we think we
Why?
Do things.
Why is that?
Because I think here they can get whatever arena they want, tick, the security they need, tick, the lighting they need, tick, and put on an event. This is a 5-day event here. It's a big 5-day event. In Vegas, it's a splintered 5-day event. You know, you're over here, you're trying to get there. And for some reason, the access in Vegas, okay, not necessarily for me and not necessarily for you when we're there for fights, but the access is nowhere near as good as the access that people get here. Like, for instance, there's 30, 40, 50 journalists here, you know, 20 or maybe 10 or 15 or 20 locals or localized ones. They're getting everybody. There's Frank Warren over there, there's Eddie Hearn over there. There's Zhilei Zhang in the ring at the moment. Everyone, he'll get him here. Everybody.
Gareth just said it's like a strange dream, and it is.
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets everybody. I mean, okay, AJ tonight, not many people
just
are going to get
back,
AJ.
Just watch your back, Steve. Watch your back.
Not many people are going to get AJ. That's understandable.
You will, because you'll have got that one.
And maybe not many people will end up getting older than Ngannou tonight. But last night at the red carpet event, they were fantastic with their time. I mean, they were brilliant with the time. So I think that's slightly different than it is in Vegas. And I really mean that. You know, I did... You know, I don't want to start sounding like an old man, but things like Pernell Whitaker fights and Felix Trinidad fights and Bernard Hopkins fights and Oscar De La Hoya fights and Lennox Lewis fights in Vegas. Let me tell you some of the greatest names.
I've got a few years to go before I can rival that.
I'll let you know another secret. You didn't get them. Lennox gave you 4 minutes on the Tuesday, then you're going up to his suite on the Sunday. Oscar De La Hoya, I queued several times to get in a queue for Oscar to get one question. Like what? And I was a newspaper
make it a
man.
Good one.
I had to for one. So the opening was, Oscar, just tell us about your life from when you were born until you were 21 and won the Olympic gold. It's unbelievable. And that was when you were a newspaper man. If you're asking one question for a 1,200 word newspaper piece, you need a really good answer for that. You need a Steve Bunce answer. So I just something about the access here. And I think the outdoor heat works, which of course they could do in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm just loving when I land, you know, I don't want to be a cheerleader for Saudi Arabia and a cheerleader for Riyadh, but these are great events, putting together fights that we wouldn't see, all the usual cliches, don't get me wrong, James, I know this is not original stuff, but it's event after event after event, and we know the two that are coming up in May and June, there's five or six fights involved there that we might not have seen.
Yeah.
So in that sense, long answer.
And they can all be main events in their own right as well, which I find.
Hey, listen, Nick Bourne, Ray Vargas here today, right? That could be the Echo, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Even Mark Chamberlain and Gavin Grimm, what a domestic bust-up. You stick that on in Cardiff, you get 5,000 people.
We're
fantastic.
We're spoiled. Steve.
We are spoiled,
I'm going to save you, because we're doing one of these every day, and I've got a few other things I want to talk to you about, so we're going to come back to you. So that's basically you inadvertently signing up to do this every afternoon, is that right?
See, that's me giving the answer that I wanted Oscar De La Hoya to give me. Way back when.
Steve.
I won't take it personally.
I don't dare take the mic off you. You pass it to me. You pass it to me. There we go. I am seeing Wynn. Thank you, Steve, for talking to us. I am getting some looks off my producer that maybe there's not too many people floating around. So if there isn't, I'll immerse you myself. And like we were saying earlier, if you just pan to my left here, there is Frank Warren. And I must say, I would love to get Frank Warren on this podcast, because if you'd have asked me a couple of years ago if I'd be interviewing Frank Warren on Matchroom, I would have laughed at you. But as you can see, these public workouts, usually the fighters tend to just be going through the motions. Oh, here we go. Here's someone who's
always going through the motions. Here we go.
Also, just talk us through, I don't want to ask you a Charlie Parson question, but talk us through the fit.
Well,
here.
The fit is obviously Under Armour,
yep.
Team AJ. We had a bit of an issue tonight because I'm not partial to the WhatsApp group, but I'd had a leaked message and they said that tonight's fit was coffee, and I actually accidentally went with the oatmeal. So I might have to go home.
Is that what you call that? Oatmeal.
I think this is the coffee.
Not? Yeah.
I mean, luckily.
So that's a bit more like a coffee.
Luckily,
to
be honest with you, I can pull them all off. But yeah, feeling good, mate. And nice to see you piping up, giving it the big one.
I know.
Formerly not sure what you were at Matchroom.
T-boy.
All of a sudden,
T-boy, I was.
A main presenter on DAZN. Now with your own roving reporting show.
Yeah. Fake it till
Boxing's
you make
Martin
it.
Brundle.
Fake it till
unbelievable.
You make it. It's strange, this, isn't it? With Frank there. I was talking to Coogan and Gareth and Buncey. For a long time, the narrative was all about the back and forth between you and Frank and the competition. Has this been a little bit of a case of... it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be?
Yeah, very much so. And I think one thing we both share is a passion for boxing and making good fights. And, you know, I think he's been a little bit surprised with my boxing knowledge.
Yep. And okay. Do you think you underestimated that?
Probably. I mean, I think people do who knew me or knew about me when I was 12 or 13. Chris Eubank Sr. is the same. Like, he just sees me as Edward, this kid that used to go and nick his clothes out of his house in Brighton. But, you know... I enjoy talking with people who know a lot about the sport. And one thing you cannot question is Frank Warren's knowledge about boxing. Same with my old man, same with Bob Arum. These are Hall of Fame promoters, so you have to respect them. We've never got on because we've never really had a chance to converse. It's always been hearing what someone said on IFL or a bit of clickbait from Coogan Cassius over there.
I've already given him a warning about clickbait this
so
week.
So when you actually sit down with them, you go, you know, and I think... I mean, I can't speak for him. I think he would probably go. He's all right, actually. Yeah. Maybe you should get him on.
I'm going to try. I'm desperately going to try.
Once he sees the old Matrim mic.
I might tell him it suits him.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
A quick one before we let you go. Yesterday, before the grand arrivals, you two were stood just over there, yeah, side by side. And they introduced you first.
Yeah.
And usually, Ed, in boxing, the A side walks last. So what does that mean?
I think it's a liberty.
Okay. You're not the A side in this operation, are
listen,
you?
Listen, to be are honest you? With you, I'm happy to be the B side. I'll give respect to the Hall of Famer,
okay,
respect to the older generation. I will be the B side, but it don't matter because the B side's coming June the 1st and we are going to destroy Queensbury Promotions in a 50-50. We can be as friendly as you want, it don't matter. When those matchups are made, I'm telling you, I'm going into those changing rooms with the biggest rally cry in history. There might even be a couple of Brucey bonuses for the fighters for
and
the win.
And the staff?
100, what?
The staff as well?
Why is it all about you?
I just know, look at all the staff watching. I speak, Matty Lawless there, Scott. Speak on behalf of everyone.
Yeah, but listen, all it matters is we win that tournament. And we will sit there ringside screaming and shouting. And the loser you might not see for a couple of weeks.
Off to hiding. Eddie, thanks so much for coming on. He can't leave me hanging. Oh, sorry. Pass that mic back to producer Scott. We're going to catch up with Eddie Hearn, absolutely no doubt, later on in the week. And I think the thing is, we've got a few people here, like Frank Warren. We've got Anthony Joshua floating around. But we've still got a good few days to go until Friday. This is only Tuesday. This is public workout day. Tomorrow, it's press conference day. That was on the ground. I can't even name the name of my podcast. The adrenaline's flying. But that was on the ground. I hope you enjoy this new format. I think it's going to be exciting. We hope we immersed you just about as well as we could today. Logistically, a little bit challenging. We've got some great opinions from some great boxing people as well. But join us tomorrow on the ground once again here in Riyadh. It's press conference day. We count down to Knockout Chaos. This Friday, Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Eddie's making faces.